Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to Be Unique Radio's Manifest Monday with Mary Brotherton. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Eastern, Mary and her guests share manifest success stories and tips for how you can learn to create the life you've always wanted. Jillian Harris is with us the second Monday of each month. The conscious cougar herself and our generous sponsor will join the show. You don't want to miss Jillian's dynamic personality and manifesting knowledge. Now grab a pen and paper for Mary's phone number, then just call her with your questions about manifesting and the law of attraction. Here's that number, area code 516-418-5651. Don't be shy.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Manifest Monday. This is your weekly dose of inspiration and empowerment. I'm your host, Mary Brotherton, and I want to guide you on a journey to manifest your dream life. I'm happy you chose to join me to explore practical tips and techniques to harness the law of attraction. If you're ready to manifest your best life, let's get started. Subscribe to Be Unique Radio so you can be informed of every episode that's on Blog Talk Radio. Just look for Be Unique Radio. Follow me and Be Unique on social media and be sure to let me know what you think of the show. Manifestation is a process that involves aligning your thoughts, emotions, and actions with the life you desire. While it's not a guarantee that every wish will come true exactly as you wish it, many people find success in manifesting their goals by following certain principles. In the past, I've called them rules. Sometimes I say there's a formula, but there are practices that you put into place. These practices, this process, involve aligning your thoughts, emotions, and actions with what you want. Here's a step-by-step guide on how to manifest what you want. And if you want to read this, just reach out to me at manifestmondayshow@gmail.com and ask for a transcript of the show called A Journey to Transformation. The date that I recorded this is March 4th. So those will help me know which show you're talking about. Or you can include the link to the show in your email. Now, let's talk about how to manifest your dream. The very first thing you need to do is clarify your vision. And I've talked about this before. You need to know what you want. Don't just want a generic or vague, I want life to be better. How? You have to determine what will make your life better, not just some random, I'm unhappy, make it go away thing. Define your goals. Be specific about what you want to manifest. The clearer and more detailed your vision, the easier it is to focus your energy on it. It might help you to create a vision board. You can compile images, words, and symbols that represent your goals and dreams. Place this visual, physical representation of your thoughts in a prominent place to reinforce your desires, your positive thoughts, and your intentions. If you're like me and like to write, you may want to record your manifest statements in a special journal. I have several, and each one is specifically for journaling, about manifesting. You can use a regular notebook. You can use strips of paper. You can use ticket notes. It doesn't really matter. But I like the idea of having it all in one place. Write in the present tense with positive language and include your gratitude. I recommend dating each entry so you can go back later and see how quickly you manifested what you want. I am constantly amazed at how my life has transformed from what it was to what it is. And I'm still on my way to what it will be. When you know exactly what your goals and dreams are, you'll need to set very clear intentions. And I've got some information on how to do that. The first thing you're going to want to do is reflect on your values. Consider your core values and what truly matters to you. Your intentions should align with these values to create a sense of purpose and fulfillment. I know she's, let's not name drop. I don't want to do that. I started to. But there are people, pop stars, musicians, singers, entrepreneurs. There are people out there who are making mega millions, multi-millions, billions of dollars, because that is what aligns with their core value. Money, money, money. That's not what aligns with me. And no matter how many people tell me that I should be making more money, that I should be doing this, that, or the other, I'm going to do what is right for me. And you should do the same thing. Yes, we all in today's society need money. We haven't quite reverted back to a barter system. We need money to live. We have to pay rent. We have to pay mortgage. We have to pay utilities. We have to eat, for crying out loud. Now, there are people who subsist on very little. And then there are some who need a lot. So you have to determine what is your value. What matters to you? You have to clarify your desires. You need to define what you want to manifest. Be specific about the outcomes you desire, whether they relate to relationships, career, health, or personal growth, or something else. I will get into that a little bit more in today's show. I've already mentioned using present tense. You also need to use positive language. Frame your intentions in positive language. Instead of focusing on what you want to avoid or eliminate or don't like, express your desires in terms of what you do want to attract or what you do want to accomplish, what you want to achieve. So instead of saying, I'm unhappy because I'm in a bad relationship and I don't have any money, or I'm unhappy because I'm ill, you reframe that into a positive statement, including your gratitude, and you say, thank you, Gus, for bringing me into a loving, respectful relationship that allows me to grow and support myself fully. Thank you, Gus, God, Universe, Spirit, Source, for making me healthier, for showing me the things that I need to do to make healthy choices for my life. Be specific and concrete. I already mentioned you cannot be vague. Don't talk about, I want a better life. What is a better life for you? Specify the details of your intentions. The more specific and concrete your goals, the easier it will be to visualize and work toward them. An example of an intention that is not specific or concrete is, I want a better job. Better than what? Better than who? Better than when? I mean, definitely, I want a better job than when I was 12 years old babysitting for bratty kids. Heck yeah. A better example of a clear intention is that is specific and concrete is, I am grateful to earn $50,000 annually from my writing, editing, and events. Visualize your desired outcomes. You visualize your successful realization of your intentions. Create mental images of the outcomes you desire and engage all your senses to make this more vivid. And I will talk about that a little later on. I've already mentioned using a journal or a dedicated space to write down your intentions. Because right now we're just talking about intentions, not necessarily the full manifest statement, but you need to know what your intentions are. You have to be very specific. When you write down all your wants, it gives a level of commitment and reinforces your focus. I once did an exercise that suggested that I use legal pad, the yellow kind that's like 11 and a half inches long or 13 inches long, 11 and a half inches, I don't know. Anyway, the long legal size pad. And they said, use one line for one intention. And they didn't say write it down with a lot of stuff, you know, just the bullet, like a single noun. I want a new house. I want a big house. I want a house on the river. I want a house on the ocean. I want a house that's a condo. I want a house that's a teepee. I want a house that is self-serving, whatever. I want a dog. I want a cat. I want a big dog. I want a little cat. I want a new cell phone. And you list all these things that you feel are missing from your life. And it does help you bring it down, break it down into more concrete ideas, because you'll find, the suggestion was to write until you run out of things to write about. Just write them down, and then you go back and you find how many times you wrote the same word. I want a big house. I want a glass house. I want a brick house. I want a wooden house. Whatever kind of things you want. I want a housekeeper. I want a house with a pool. You know, I want a pool at my house. So every time you write down these one words, circle them. And I like to use different colored ink. So every time you write the word house, it might be in red. Every time you write the word relationship or boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife or anything to do with romance, circle that with another color. And then what you do is you go back again after you've done all the circling and you make tally marks. How many times did I say house? How many times did I say romance or love or relationship? So you categorize and you barrel down. And when you get finished, you're going to find you may have a tie, but most likely there's going to be one thing that you wrote down at least once more than all the other things. For me, it was, I want to be an author. I want to write books. And so that's why I started focusing on that. So, and you find what works for you. And then after you've written them down, you look at them. And that's when you can set short and long-term intentions. You can differentiate between long-term and short-term intentions. The short-term are more immediate and achievable. The long-term intentions might represent bigger life goals. And I'll give you an example of each. I am grateful to have 3 editing and illustration clients on hold waiting for me to complete current writing projects. That's a great short-term intention. Here's my long-term intention. Thank you, Gus, for my ability to continue writing best-selling inspirational novels and collections well into the final years of my life. In other words, I want to write for the rest of my life. I want to be doing that. So whether that includes working with other clients or not is up to me and up to the universe, but I also want to keep working with them now because it does give me some income. It also gives me fulfillment. You have to prioritize your intentions. Remember, I said write them all down on a piece of paper, and you might find you've got 5 that you know, you might have a five-way tie. Which ones are the most important? Which ones are more relevant to your overall well-being? This way you can allocate time and energy effectively. Now, here's something that you're going to find a little different based on what I just said about writing to the end of my life. My first priority in life is to help others. And I am grateful that I can do that by sharing the things that are important to me, whether it's podcasting, because I've mentored many people into their own podcasts, whether it's writing magazine articles or publishing or running events. I help them and they move on. Those are the things that are important to me. My secondary priority is to earn money by helping others. So there you go. Now, when you finish prioritizing your intentions, you want to turn them into positive affirmations. Craft statements that affirm your beliefs in the present tense as if your intentions have already manifested. You might call these your I am statements. I am a best-selling author of inspirational books. I am kind. I am successful in all aspects of my life. I receive abundance from the universe. I want you then to start feeling. Connect with the emotions associated with your intentions. Feel the joy, gratitude, and fulfillment as if your desires have already come into fruition. And if you feel anything less than joy, gratitude, fulfillment, sheer happiness, you are not aligned with your intentions. I'm going to go back and repeat, align with your core values. Make sure that what you've written down at this point lines up with what you believe and what is important to you. This adds depth and authenticity to your desires and lets the universe know you are sincere and you are really expecting this. I want you to stay open to possibilities while being specific. Remain open to unexpected ways and variations of receiving what you want. The universe probably will present solutions in ways you hadn't anticipated. If you've listened to me in the past, you've heard me talk about the Soul Sisters retreat that my friend Leslie and I are doing together in May of 2024. Well, back in probably 1984, and the reason I'm thinking it was that long ago, I'm remembering how old my children were at the time. I was zapped, almost knocked on the head with an idea. I want to do a writer's retreat. In fact, I was so determined at that point in time that I was going to do something like this, that when I was given the opportunity by the county to name the road I lived on, I named it Poets Retreat Lane. And I started thinking, how are we going? I had 20 acres of property out in the country. And it would have been a great place to have maybe an annual or semi-annual retreat. I had it all planned out. Of course, I didn't have the financial wherewithal or the knowledge, and I certainly didn't have the support to do it. So it just sat there and simmered for years and years and years. And then along comes Leslie telling me she wants to do a women's retreat, an empowerment retreat, and she wanted to know if I would work with her. And I jumped at the opportunity because I've always wanted to do a retreat. I didn't want to make it gender specific, but I understand the need for that. But I really didn't want to make it all in, you know, well, I'm getting my words ahead of my heart. Anyway, I wasn't prepared to do it the way it's being done, but I was open to the possibilities. I was willing to accept unexpected variations on what I had planned. I still would like to do the problem with me is I tend to go too big and I get too broad because I want to do a writers, artists, photographers retreat. And then where does that go from there? I don't want to exclude anybody, but sometimes you have to exclude someone to include others. So we'll work on the next retreat after we finish this retreat. I want you to make sure that you review and update your intentions often, because as your life evolves, your goals will shift. You may keep some of those ideas. You may alter them like I did mine. But it's important to ensure that your intentions remain relevant. Don't hold on to a dream for the sake of the dream. Hold on to the dream because it aligns with you. Set a time frame. I don't usually like to set a time frame for my manifesting, but sometimes if you set a time frame to your intentions, this will help create a sense of urgency and commitment. Perhaps you can say, I want to have a new job by the end of 2024. That's still very generic, but there are ways to put time limits on this, and then you have to do other work. And I'm going to get into all of that too. But even when you set the time frame, be flexible and understand the universe may provide you what you're asking for sooner than you expect, or it may take a little longer. It took me 40 years to write my first book. That was mostly my fault. But once I wrote that first book, the universe has been giving me opportunities to write more and more. And so now I'm getting ready to publish my fourth book, my first novel. That's going to be fun. You just have to be flexible. When you get to this point, you want to practice mindfulness because that will help you patiently wait. You incorporate mindfulness into your daily routine because you want to be present and focused. If you are, this can enhance your ability to set and pursue your clear intentions. Again, gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. I cannot stress this enough. Express gratitude for the intentions you've set and the progress you make and the things you already have and have achieved. Gratitude reinforces positive energy and contributes to a more optimistic mindset. If you share, this is one of the reasons I do this show. You should share your intentions, your manifesting with friends, family, or mentors who support you. Vocalizing your goals can provide accountability and encouragement. And the more people who hear me say that I, Mary Brotherton, am a worldwide best-selling author of inspirational books, that's that much more energy that goes out to make this true. I had to write the first book before I could write the second or the third. Don't know that my fourth will be a bestseller. But that's my dream. That's my intention. That's my manifesting. Steep Steps is a global best-selling novel. I want you then to start taking inspired action because intention alone is not enough. You take inspired action toward your goals. Break down your intentions into actionable steps and consistently work toward them. That is exactly what I've done. I have published 3 of my books, 2 books for other people. That's given me a little momentum. I take these books out and I sell them everywhere I can. My next book will probably be going into the ether. I'll probably have it on Amazon or other sites like that. We shall see where this takes me. But if you follow these steps, You can set clear intentions that resonate with your values, empower your mindset, and guide your actions toward the light you desire. Now, I want to talk a little more about affirmations, because we mentioned those and I said I was going to come back to them. Use positive affirmations to reinforce your beliefs in achieving your goals. State your desires in the present tense as if they've already happened. You can say, I am confident and successful. I am living my healthiest life. My mind, body, and spirit are balanced. The universe provides for me in unexpected ways. I am a best-selling author. You can repeat these throughout the day. I highly recommend you recite your affirmations first thing in the morning and the last thing at night before you go to sleep. A lot of people like to print them out on index cards or print them out on, you know, computer paper and cut them apart and just use them as little flashcards. Just read them. Maybe you only have time to read one. Flip it to the back page, and then when the next one's ready, you read it. When you are mindful, you will make your statements as positive as possible. You're going to avoid using negative words and words about the future. Start thinking in terms of today. No more dreaming and wishing or hoping. It's claiming. You claim this. Watch out for the vague statements, as I said before. If you want to manifest a better life or a better job or a better relationship, bear in mind, the universe cannot know what that means for you. Better than which job? Better than whose job? Better in what way? There are people who do manual labor and love it. I'll give you an example. My own sons, both of them work for the same contractor. And a couple months ago, both of them were laid off because the company had a huge downsizing and laid off 50% of its workforce. Just happened that both of my sons got the axe at the same time. Now, at the time, they were both doing basically the same job. They were working in construction. I don't know what their specific roles were. And they were okay. They were happy-ish. They both told me at different times they wanted a better job, but they didn't really know what to do about it. So when they were laid off, they came to visit me and we had a conversation about that. And they both started right then applying for jobs. And because they are different individuals, their better job has manifested differently for each of them. The oldest one, who is a natural born leader and instructor, is being instructed right now, but he's already been told by his instructors, don't be surprised if you're not approached to become an instructor soon, because they're going to see him on the floor. He's now working at an aircraft company, putting assembly, doing assembly work. This is great because, I mean, he spent most of his Navy career doing this, and he loves working with, you know, with tools. He likes turning wrenches. Now, the other one is not so mechanically inclined, but he loves driving his car, and he loves talking to strangers. He'd rather talk to strangers than develop a close personal relationship with one or two people. It's just the way he is. So he's a Lyft driver. And he's not only a Lyft driver, he's a 5-star, highly recommended, requested Lyft driver. So they're each doing their own thing now and they're loving it. But that's because they got out of the way of vague statements. So what exactly does better mean for you? You're the most important part of this equation. So when you say, I want a better life, what does that look like? Script it out. Remember that if what you want involves another person, you must consider that person's free will. Rather than manifesting someone out of your life or into your life, consider this. Thank you, Gus, God, universe, spirit, source, for filling my life with. And then I want you to fill in the blank with the qualities you want in the people you want in your life. If you want a new business partner, a new life partner, new friends, new board members, new other people, tell the universe exactly what kind of people you want. I'll give you some personal examples based on my past manifest statements. Thank you, Gus, for introducing me to motivated, self-driven volunteers for Be Unique and for providing the charity with a strong board of directors. Gus, I am grateful for having a loving, supportive, respectful life partner who is also my best friend and spouse. I'm so grateful to be surrounded by people at Manifest who align with me on so many levels. Gus, I appreciate all the people you send to me who want to buy my books and art. Now, here's where I need to give you a little gentle reminder. This past weekend, I had a booth at a local event, and I was busy for weeks, I mean several weeks, manifesting buyers for my books and paintings. I was at the outdoor event from 10 until 5, and I sold one book, just one. And I had to do some serious sales work to get that one sold. I still had a great time connecting with other people. And now I have a lead on a consignment shop that is interested in showcasing my artwork. I went to bed grateful. Sure, I didn't sell much. In fact, I ended up spending every penny from that one sale on my lunch. The reason for my gratitude is that I believe it sometimes takes Gus a little longer to nudge people in my direction. With Manifest number 6 coming up on March 16th, I fully expect to sell many more books and my art at this charity fundraiser. So I have to sit back and wait patiently for this dream to come true. Now that you have become clear on your visions, you set your intentions, you need to practice visualization. Use visualization to vividly imagine and feel yourself living the life you want. Create a mental image of your ideal future, incorporating sensory details, emotions, and the positive outcomes you want to experience. I know that I've spoken in the past on other episodes of this show that all the senses I call on when I visualize myself as a best-selling author. I see my name on the best-selling lists. I hear the phone calls and compliments from family and friends. I smell my bank. It has a unique smell when I make a deposit. And if I smell more money, you know, cash. I taste the champagne as I celebrate, and I feel, as my sister says, as if I have truly arrived. She has already predicted that I will be a guest on the Today Show and has offered her services as my stylist or just to carry my bags, which might be a better idea. Anyway, you use your mental imagery to regularly visualize yourself already living the life you desire. You engage all your senses and feel the emotions associated with achieving your goals. Visualization helps program your subconscious mind. Do you want to travel the world by cruise ship? Do you want to sail the seven seas? Or do you want to fly in an airplane? They're both going to smell different, sound different, feel different, taste different. I think I'm leaving out a sense or two, but it's okay. Remember the vision board I spoke of earlier? If you are a visual person, this will be your go-to way to manifest. So after you have become clear on your visions, set your intentions, and are visualizing your new reality, what's next? You need to maintain that positive energy. You can do this through the power of positive thinking. Cultivate a positive mindset. Replace negative thoughts with positive thoughts. Surround yourself with positive influences and be mindful of the energy you're putting out into the world. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. I will never say enough about the importance of an attitude of gratitude. You must express gratitude for what you already have, but don't just say it. You need to feel it, believe it, and live it. Gratitude shifts your focus from scarcity to abundance, creating a positive vibration. I've seen on Facebook recently, a lot recently, different memes about how gratitude can move you from scarcity to abundance, because it's not what you have that makes you happy. It's how you feel about what you have. People with very limited material possessions can be vastly happier than people with mansions. Besides, if you aren't grateful for what you do have, how can you expect anything new in your life to make you feel better? Maintain a gratitude journal where you regularly write down all the things you're thankful for. This is different from a manifest journal. They can be one and the same. I prefer to keep mine separated. Focusing on gratitude will shift your mindset and attract more positive experiences into your life. Don't just say you are grateful or recite thankfulness. It's easy to say thank you over and over, just like it's easy to say, I'm sorry. We do it, but do we mean it? Learn to live a life of gratitude. This will make all the difference in your ability to manifest what you want. Overcoming limiting beliefs is the next step after you have become clear on your visions, set your intentions, visualized your new reality, and created a more positive life. Now, how do you overcome limiting beliefs? First thing you have to do is identify them. Recognize and challenge any beliefs that may be holding you back. These beliefs are often rooted in fear and self-doubt. Even though I denied it, for more than 40 years, I was afraid to publish my first book. Why? Who knows? Maybe because I had often been told that people like me couldn't or shouldn't publish their own books. Or maybe because I had been rejected by agents. And Lord have mercy, was I ever rejected? That was one book, one time. I haven't sought agents since then. And maybe it's time to start looking for one. Perhaps I was afraid of success, as strange as that might seem. The point is, once I overcame my limiting beliefs, I found that I could manifest more often, more brilliantly, and faster. What do you do once you've identified your limiting beliefs? Go back to the affirmations to reframe your thoughts. Start the fake it till you make it part of manifesting. State what you want in the present tense, in positive language, as if it is already a part of your life. Does it sound like I'm repeating myself? Yes, I am. Because sometimes the words or the way I say the words don't click until you've heard them two or three times. So this entire show is about transforming your life, and I want to make sure these thoughts sink in. I say I am a highly sought after, well-respected, best-selling author of inspirational books. It's very specific. It's very concrete. I don't just want to be a best-selling author. Certainly don't want to just be an author. I want my books to inspire others. I want to be well-respected. And so it is. Thank you, Gus. So now what? You've become clear on your visions. You've set your intentions. You're visualizing your new reality. You now maintain a positive energy through the power of positive thinking. Oh, yes. Remember I mentioned earlier, you need to script your ideal life. Let's talk about that. This is more than just writing down your intentions. This is more than just creating a manifest statement. You need to write a detailed script of your ideal life as if it's happening in the present. You better believe I have already written out my daily activities, everything I'm going to achieve, and the emotions associated with being a best-selling author worldwide of inspirational books. My sister has already scripted how she will accompany me to New York when I am invited to be on the Today Show. Of course, she doesn't think beyond the Today Show. I'm thinking all the talk shows, all the television, the radio shows, all the newspapers. They're all going to want to talk to me. I've even told my husband that he must be very familiar with my book because he will be interviewed as my spouse, and they're going to want to know which parts of my novel are true, which parts of my novel are about him, which parts of my novel did I make up, and some of the things he knows, I've been reading it out loud to him, and he's enjoying it, and he asks questions. My manifest journal is filled with short scripts, my manifest statements, but what I'm talking about is very, very detailed. Write yourself a letter from the future, like you're catching up your great aunt Tilly, in great detail, leaving out nothing about your new life. What does it look like? How do you feel now that you have accomplished it all and achieved so much? What are the aromas you smell in your new life? What are the sounds that you hear in your new life? What do you see? When you write out your script, this is how you take inspired action. This is another powerful manifesting step. I am all about taking inspired action. And sometimes I have to curb it in because I like to jump. I like to take that leap and build my wings on the way down. It's served me well, but sometimes the inspiration is not necessarily so much inspiration as imagination. So I've got to be mindful of that. You want to set goals for yourself. Break down your larger goals into smaller, actionable steps. As I said before, create a plan and take consistent, purposeful action. Many people who write books have an outline. The book, my novel that I'm working on, came about as a result of a true incident in my life. And when I told my husband about it, he said, you need to write about that. And I said, oh, no, I don't think so. The next morning, I woke up with the entire book in my head. It was already outlined. I knew what I had to write. I knew how I needed to write it. And there are many authors who write this out on paper. I didn't, but that's just the way I work. Follow your intuition. Follow your gut. Trust your instincts. Be open to opportunities that align with your vision. Act on inspiration, even if it seems small or unconditional, maybe especially if it seems out of context. Remember that book and art event I mentioned earlier? Even though it wasn't a huge financial success, it was but one step of inspired action that will lead to having my art and possibly my books displayed in a shop that will get more exposure for what I'm doing. Many months ago, I don't even remember when, I'd forgotten about it. I had heard about the event and I called the number listed. Then I heard nothing. And I decided it probably wasn't meant for me. Then just a few short weeks ago, I got a call and an apology. She had written my number down and soon lost the paper in a pile of other slips of paper. I made plans to go and immediately manifested the crowds of people who would come to say hello, new fans of my work, and I visualized how many books I'd sell, as well as how many paintings. It didn't happen. Yet, I was extremely grateful for the opportunity, because now I've met the owner of Last Call Consignment and Arts Shop, who is interested in showing and selling my work. This is how Gus plants a seed and starts the work for us. This is just one avenue, and it's phenomenal for me. What are you supposed to do after you're clear on your visions? You set your intentions, visualize your dreams, possess positive energy, think positively, script your ideal life, and start taking inspired action. Wait, you mean there's more? Yes, there's more. You cultivate patience and persistence, and I've talked about this already. I made the call to get involved in the art show and waited and forgot. You must do the same, and you must persistently continue to dream your dreams. Stay committed, because manifestation takes time. Promise yourself to stay committed to your visions, and do not be discouraged by setbacks. I am not the least bit upset that I didn't sell any of the books on Saturday. However, because I had to disassemble everything that night and would have to bring it back the next morning to set it back up, I opted not to go on Sunday. Did I miss any sales? Maybe. Did I enjoy sleeping in? Absolutely. You must learn and adapt. View challenges as opportunities for growth. I consider obstacles to be opportunities in disguise. When you're manifesting, you must learn from your experiences. Adjust your approach as you need to and persevere. Keep positive, stay grateful, and look for those opportunities to accept your dream, even if it might be disguised as something else. You want to release attachment, and I'll tell you why. Taking action is crucial. It's also important to release the need to control every aspect of the process. You trust in the timing and the process of the universe. Let go of control. Now, I know it's easy for me to sit here and tell you to release attachment. This is something I've only recently learned how to do. And I've had people, I've had dreams, I've had angelic numbers tell me, let go, release, release attachment, let go of this, let go of the past. And I'm like, but how? How am I supposed to do it? Releasing attachment to emotional baggage, forgiving, and freeing yourself from the burden of negative experiences really isn't as hard as you might think. But before I get into telling you how, I want to talk a little bit about the why. There are many reasons to do this. Primarily, your emotional well-being. Clinging to negative emotions can take a toll on mental and emotional well-being. Letting go allows you to experience emotional relief and cultivate a more positive mindset. If you can release attachment, your relationships will prosper. You know, those we talked about earlier that you want to improve. If you release attachment to how you think they must be and stop clinging to memories of how bad the bad is, you will improve your relationships. Now, I'm not advising you to remain in an unhealthy or unhappy relationship. This is also something I've talked about in the past and likely will talk about again, but just not today. Holding on to grievances constrain a relationship. Letting go fosters healthier connections by reducing resentment and opening the door to understanding and forgiveness. Letting go is a crucial step in personal growth. It allows you to move forward, learn from experiences, and embrace new opportunities. Sometimes, when you release your attachment to a specific relationship, You will find the doors you thought were closed to you are now automatically opening. Chronic stress and negative emotions can have implications on your physical health. Letting go contributes to stress reduction and promotes overall well-being. I can hear you saying, yeah, that's well and good, Mary, but I still don't know how. So let's explore a few ways to let go. First thing I want you to do is acknowledge your feelings. Recognize the emotions you're experiencing. Accept that it's okay not to feel okay. It's okay to feel a range of emotions, and acknowledging them is the first step toward letting go. Experience everything that is blocking you from your ideal life. Do you want a traveling companion now that you've retired but don't know how to find one? Why aren't you out there meeting new people? Do you want that traveling companion to be of the opposite gender or the same as you? Are you meeting new people of the opposite gender, or you tend to stay closer to home? Are you expecting your companion to be romantically involved with you, or simply someone to cover all your expenses? Whatever you want is fine. Want what you want, and know that what you want also wants to find its way to you. Just go back to what we talked about in the beginning and be specific. Be extremely clear on what you want. Speak your truth to the universe in present tense, in positive language, knowing that you deserve to have it, and visualize it as you prepare to put inspired action on your statement. For instance, thank you, Gus, for introducing me to someone who is as much into traveling as this person is into spending time traveling with me, and for making this special someone financially secure enough to treat me to the exotic travels I have always dreamed of. But don't just sit home at this point. Start making connections in person or online. You might be surprised and amazed at what you will find in travel groups, forums. There may even be dating sites. I know one woman who has met some amazing people. Now, I think she finances her own trips, and that's great. Some amazing people that she's been romantically involved in, because she goes on vegan travel excursions around the world. And she writes for Be Unique. The second way to release attachments is to practice forgiveness. Anyway, this doesn't mean condoning someone's actions. It's about releasing the hold these actions have on your emotions. Forgiving allows you to reclaim your power. You never forgive someone for the sake of that other one who's hurt you. You do it for your own sake. If you have trouble doing this, you can actually manifest it by saying something like, Gus, I am deeply grateful. You allow me to forgive so much more easily than I did yesterday. Or maybe try this one. Gus, forgiving others used to be difficult for me. Thank you for showing me how freeing this practice is. I am grateful to forgive and yet retain the lesson from the pain. Consider releasing attachment by shifting your perspective. Try to see the situation from a different point of view. Consider the other person and focus on the lessons learned. Be free to express your feelings. Find a trusted friend, family member, or therapist and share your feelings. When you verbalize your emotions, you will find a sense of release and a therapeutic outlet. Set boundaries. If the situation involves ongoing negativity, consider setting healthy boundaries. This may involve limiting contact with certain individuals or establishing clear expectations. I know it may seem like I'm going off on tangents, but I'm trying to stay within the theme here. I'm going to give you some tips to set healthy boundaries, which is crucial for maintaining your well-being, fostering positive relationships, and creating a balance. Because if you don't have all of these components in place, you cannot manifest as easily as someone who is a little more balanced. I want you to reflect on your values, your needs, and your priorities. Understand what is important to you and where you need to set boundaries to protect your physical, emotional, and mental health. When you clearly identify the areas where you need to set boundaries, which could include your time, personal space, emotions, work-life balance, relationships, how much you spend, how often you shop. Do you allow almost everyone to dictate how you use your time? Do you have difficulty saying no to everyone, or is there just one person you need to establish healthy boundaries with? Being honest with yourself is a very important step in the right direction. Communicate openly with this person, but especially with yourself. Clearly and assertively, yet politely, communicate your boundaries to yourself and to others. Use I statements to express your needs and expectations. Be honest and direct without being aggressive or confrontational. I need time to work on my novel. I can't do that right now. No, thank you. I'm busy writing. I would love to take on your project, but I must finish my first one, the one I'm working, my current one, before I take on another one. Be consistent. Consistency is key to establishing and maintaining boundaries. You must ensure that you consistently communicate and enforce your boundaries across all situations and with different people. When people or circumstances have you feeling like you're sitting on the fence, or maybe you're crashing through a boundary that doesn't suit you, speak up. It is perfectly fine to say, you know what? I thought I could do that, but now I think I need time to reconsider this. Or on second thought, I don't feel comfortable doing this. My situation has changed. I can no longer give you the time that I had promised you. If that's too hard, try simply, I just remembered doing this is going to interfere with previous plans I have. You are not obligated to tell those people what those plans are, even if your plans are just simply to be consistent in setting and establishing boundaries that allow you to release attachments. Your plans might be to do nothing, and that is perfectly fine. That's part of prioritizing self-care, which is extremely important. When you set boundaries that prioritize your physical and mental well-being, you are well on your way. This may include setting aside time for relaxation, hobbies, activities that bring you joy, or like I said a moment ago, simply doing nothing. Learn to say no. This bears repeating. Practice saying no when necessary. It's okay to decline additional responsibilities or commitments if they interfere with your well-being or overwhelm you. I can be the victim of my own overwhelming. I have a tendency to be a pleaser, and I'm working on this myself. I'm manifesting the ability to be less overwhelmed, and the ability to say no when it is required, the ability to simply step back. Trust your instincts. Listen to your feelings. Follow your gut. Yes, I said this before. Yes, it's important. If a situation or relationship feels uncomfortable or draining, it may be a sign that you need to adjust or maybe set your boundaries. You may need to reset them over and over with some people. If you can establish clear consequences, clearly define them. What happens if a boundary is violated. You can communicate what will happen if someone disregards your boundaries and be prepared to follow through with those consequences. For me, the consequence is I start to burn out and then I don't support anybody. And speaking of support, you should find your circle. Talk to friends, family, a mental health professional for guidance in setting and maintaining boundaries. Sharing your experience can provide valuable insight. Practice self-awareness. Cultivate self-awareness to recognize when your boundaries are being tested or violated. Understand what triggers you and be proactive in addressing them. You can set technology boundaries. Limit your screen time. Set communication expectations. Someone once told me it is not important to you for you to respond to an email the instant you get it. You do not have to respond to a text every, nanoseconds after you hear the ding. If you create designated unplugged periods of time, you will promote a healthier balance. Establish work-life boundaries. Clearly define boundaries between work and personal life. Set specific working hours. Avoid taking work home. And if you work from home, avoid the inclination to work beyond 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever time you establish it. Communicate your availability to colleagues and supervisors. That goes back to the you don't have to answer emails the instant you receive them. If you do want to work late, here's a little tip that helped me manifest a little more work-life balance. Schedule your emails so that they go out the next morning. That way, people think you're only working in, regular business hours. That creates the, the impression that you work during business hours and they can't be bothering you and can't expect an instant response. And remember, I just said you need to adjust or reset your boundaries. Be open to reassessing and modifying them based on how your life changes, your relationships, personal circumstances. When you get a new romantic partner who already respects personal boundaries, you may find that the ones you set for the narcissistic partner no longer apply, and you want to give your new partner more space to get close. Practice assertiveness when communicating your boundaries. That's not aggression, assertion. Express your needs with confidence and stop apologizing for setting boundaries that are essential for your well-being. No more "I'm sorry, buts." I don't need your sorry, but. Just let me know what's going on and I will respect that. If you feel the need to over-apologize for the boundaries that help you feel safe, it's a clear indication that the person or situation needs to be on the other side of those boundaries. This is the universe giving you a clear signal that the other one is not right for you. Celebrate success. Celebrate your successes in maintaining healthy boundaries. Acknowledge the positive impact on your life, relationships, and overall happiness. Your celebration can be a mental high five with your inner self, a cup of your favorite tea, or a walk. It can be as simple or as complex as you want. Now, I'm hitting my hour's mark, I know, but I do have a little more I want to cover with you. So bear with me, folks. I think it'll come back to a circle and you'll be very pleased with what I've got to say at the end. Remember that setting healthy boundaries is an ongoing process. It's okay to reassess and refine them as needed. Prioritizing your well-being and advocating for your needs is a fundamental aspect of maintaining a balanced and fulfilling life. Now, remember, we brought that into play because we were talking about releasing attachments. I want to get back into releasing attachments. How do you release attachments? You focus on the present. Practice mindfulness to stay grounded in the present moment. Dwelling on the past or worrying about the future can impede the process of letting go. Cultivate self-compassion by being kind to yourself. Recognize that letting go is a journey and it's okay to struggle sometimes. You can create rituals to help you release. You can create a symbolic ritual. It could be writing it down, writing your thoughts, and burning the paper. Any other action that feels meaningful to you, look up how to create a ritual to release attachments. Engage in self-care. Take care of your physical and emotional well-being. These activities can be positive and nurturing ways to shift your focus. I mentioned it earlier, I'll mention it again, seek professional care. If letting go is too challenging, consider seeking support from a mental health professional. They can guide you. They can give you tools and a safe space to explore your emotions. I don't know why my timer is chiming. Remember that letting go is a process, and it's okay if it takes time. Be patient with yourself. Celebrate small victories and prioritize your well-being as you work toward releasing what no longer serves you. Now, remember, this is Manifest Monday, so I'm back to manifesting. It's a personal journey. There's no one-size-fits-all approach. All I've talked about up to this point are techniques and practices. Some may resonate with you, some may not. But be patient with the process. Consistency, positive energy, and belief in your ability to create change are key elements in manifesting what you want in life. Now, here are a couple of creative ways you can manifest this new life you want. Not just follow the rules and follow the formula, follow the process. Practice mindfulness and meditation to cultivate a calm and focused mind. This can help you stay present, reduce stress, and create a positive mindset that is conducive to manifestation. Remember I talked about fake it till you make it? Others call it the act as if mentality. It boils down to this. Behave and make decisions as if you are already living the life you desire. This can create a powerful alignment between your actions and your goals. Be mindful. If your dream is to live like a rock star, dancing to loud music when you live on the fourth floor will not likely get you a Good Neighbor Award. Be mindful of those around you when you're acting as if. And if your fake it till you make it includes being a snob to the people that you think are beneath you, remember that you may need them to get where you need to go. So be authentic. Use healing energy such as Reiki, acupuncture, or other practices that focus on balancing and aligning your energy, because this supports manifesting. The principles of feng shui will help you arrange your living and working spaces in a way to enhance positive energy flow. Remember, we talked about positive energy. A harmonious environment can positively impact your mindful manifestation. I've done shows before about moon manifestation rituals. You can align your manifestation efforts with the lunar cycles. Some people believe that performing rituals during specific moon phases can amplify the energy of their intentions. Engage in creative activities such as art, writing, music, dancing. It doesn't matter. Expressing your creativity can tap into your subconscious mind and help manifest your desires. And remember earlier I was talking about how where more people hear me say, I am highly sought after, well-respected, best-selling author around the globe. I want more people to hear it, say it, think it along with me, because that enhances my ability. If you engage in collaborative visualization with others who think like you, you are going to amp up your manifestation. Share your goals and aspirations and collectively visualize and support each other in manifesting positive outcomes. You may remember that I told you this started back during COVID when my colleagues at Be Unique and volunteers, we wanted to get together and manifest a lot of things, and we did it over Zoom. And it, next thing I know, I'm doing it through the podcast so I can reach even more people. If you incorporate mind-body practices such as yoga, tai chi, or qigong, you will find that you are promoting holistic well-being, and that can also contribute to a positive mindset. Experiment with different techniques and choose the ones that resonate most with you. Consistency, belief, and a positive mindset are three of the keys to manifesting on your journey. Thank you for joining me today on Manifest Monday, where I help you turn dreams into reality one Monday at a time. As we wrap up today's journey of transformation, I want you to remember, Mondays are for fresh starts, new beginnings, and unlimited possibilities. Until next week, when Jillian Harris returns to talk about how you can become supernatural, keep manifesting magic into your life. This is Mary Brotherton, signing off with positivity, purpose, and the power to make your dreams come true. Stay manifesting and have an amazing week ahead. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Be Unique Radio's Manifest Monday show with Mary Brotherton. Come back every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern for more guidance on creating your ideal life. If you have questions about manifesting your happiness, email manifestmondayshow@gmail.com and Mary will respond on a future episode. Remember, friends, the fastest way to manifest your dreams is to speak them into existence in positive present terms and to always remain grateful. See you next time.